In accord with our disaccord is an instance related in the Monthly Weather Review, March, 1887, something that fell luminously from the sky, accompanied by something that was not so affected, or that was dark. That, according to Captain C. D. Sweet, of the Dutch Bark, JPA, upon March 19, 1887, and 37 degrees 39 minutes, W 57 degrees 00, he encountered a severe storm. He saw two objects in the air above the ship. One was luminous, and might be explained in several ways, but the other was dark. One or both fell into the sea, with a roar and the casting up of billows. It is our acceptance that these things had entered this Earth's atmosphere, having first crashed through a field of ice, immediately afterward lumps of ice fell. One of the most astonishing of the phenomena of ball lightning is a phenomenon of many meteorites, violence of explosion out of all proportion to size and velocity. We accept that the icy meteorites of Dhurmsala could have fallen with no great velocity, but the sound from them was tremendous. The soft substance that fell at the Cape of Good Hope was carbonaceous, but was unburned, or had fallen with velocity insufficient to ignite it. The tremendous report that it made was heard over an area more than 70 miles in diameter. That some hailstones have been formed in a dense medium, and violently disintegrate in this Earth's relatively thin atmosphere. Nature, 88-350. Large hailstones noted at the University of Missouri, November 11, 1911, they exploded with sounds like pistol shots. The writer says that he had noticed a similar phenomenon, 18 years before, at Lexington, Kentucky. Hailstones that seemed to have been formed in a denser medium, when melted underwater they gave out bubbles larger than their central air spaces. Monthly Weather Review, 33-445. Our acceptance is that many objects have fallen from the sky, but that many of them have disintegrated violently. This acceptance will coordinate with data still to come, but, also, we make it easy for ourselves in our expressions upon superconstructions, if we're asked why, from thinkable wrecks of them, girders, plates, or parts recognizably of manufactured metal have not fallen from the sky. However, as to composition, we have not this refuge, so it is our expression that there have been reported instances of the fall of manufactured metal from the sky. The meteorite of Rutherford, North Carolina, is of artificial material, mass of pig iron. It is said to be fraudulent. America Jour Sci, 234-298. The object that was said to have fallen at Marblehead, Massachusetts, in 1858, is described in the Amer. Jour Sci, 234-135, as a furnace product, formed in smelting copper ores, or iron ores containing copper. It is said to be fraudulent. According to Ehrenberg, the substance reported by Capt. Colum to have fallen upon his vessel, near Java, offered complete resemblance to the residue resulting from combustion of a steel wire in a flask of oxygen. Zurcher, Meteors, p. 239. Nature, November 21, 1878, publishes a notice that, according to the Yuma Sentinel, a meteorite that resembles steel had been found in the Mojave Desert. In Nature, February 15, 1894, we read that one of the meteorites brought to the United States by Peary, from Greenland, is of tempered steel. The opinion is that meteoric iron had fallen in water or snow, quickly cooling and hardening. This does not apply to composition. November 5, 1898, Nature publishes a notice of a paper by Professor Bearworth, of Vienna, upon the close connection between meteoric iron and steelworks steel. At the meeting of November 24, 1906, of the Essex Field Club, was exhibited a piece of metal said to have fallen from the sky, October 9, 1906, at Braintree. According to the Essex naturalist, Dr. Fletcher, of the British Museum, had declared this metal to be smelted iron, so that the mystery of its reported fall remained unexplained. 24. We shall have an outcry of silences. If a single instance of anything be disregarded by a system, our own attitude is that a single instance is a powerless thing. Of course, our own method of agreement of many instances is not a real method. In continuity, all things must have resemblances with all other things. Anything has any quasi-identity you please. Some time ago, conscription was assimilated with either autocracy or democracy with equal facility. Note the need for a dominant to correlate to. Scarcely anybody said simply that we must have conscription, but that we must have conscription, which correlates with democracy, which was taken as a base, or something basically desirable. Of course, between autocracy and democracy nothing but false demarcation can be drawn. So I can conceive of no subject upon which there should be such poverty as a single instance, if anything one pleases can be whipped into line. However, we shall try to be more nearly real than the Darwinites who advance concealing coloration as Darwinism, and then drag in proclaiming luminosity, too, as Darwinism. I think the Darwinites had better come in with us as to the deep sea fishes and be sorry later, I suppose. It will be amazing or negligible to read all the instances now to come of things that have been seen in the sky, and to think that all have been disregarded. My own opinion is that it is not possible, or very easy, to disregard them, now that they have been brought together, but that, if prior to about this time we had attempted such an assemblage, the old dominant would have withered our typewriter as it is. The letter E has gone back on us, and the S is temperamental. Most extraordinary and singular phenomenon, North Wales, August 26, 1894, a disc from which projected an orange-colored body that looked like an elongated flatfish, reported by Admiral Amani, Nature, 50-524, disc from which projected a hook-like form, India, about 1838, diagram of it given, disc about size of the moon, but brighter than the moon, visible about 20 minutes, by G. Pettit, in Professor Baden-Powell's catalogue, Report British Association, 1849, very brilliant hook-like form, seen in the sky at Poland, Trumbullco, Ohio, during the stream of meteors, of 1833, visible more than an hour, large luminous body, almost stationary for a time, shaped like a square table, Niagara Falls, November 13, 1833, America Jersey, 1-25-391, something described as a bright white cloud, at night, November 3, 1886, at Hamar, Norway, from it were emitted brilliant rays of light, drifted across the sky, retained throughout its original form, Nature, December 16, 1886-158, thing with an oval nucleus, and streamers with dark bands and lines very suggestive of structure, New Zealand, May 4, 1888, Nature, 42-402, luminous object, size of full moon, visible an hour and a half, Chile, November 5, 1883, Comptes Rendus, 103-682, bright object near Sunday, December 21, 1882, Knowledge, 3-13, light that looked like a great flame, far out at sea, off Ryokyak Fayo, December 2, 1845, London Roy. SOCPROC, 5-627, something like a gigantic trumpet, suspended, vertical, oscillating gently, visible 5 or 6 minutes, length estimated at 425 feet, at Oaxaca, Mexico, July 6, 1874, Psi AM Sup, 6-2365, two luminous bodies, seemingly united, visible 5 or 6 minutes, June 3, 1898, Law Nature, 1898-1-127, thing with a tail, crossing moon, transit half a minute, September 26, 1870, London Times, September 30, 1870, object 4 or 5 times size of moon, moving slowly across sky, November 1, 1885, near Adrianople, L. Astronomy, 1886-309, large body, colored red, moving slowly, visible 15 minutes, reported by Coggia, Marseilles, August 1. 1871, Chemistry News, 24-193, details of this observation, and similar observation by Guimet, and other instances by de Fonville, Comptes Rendus, 73-297, 755, thing that was large and that was stationary twice in 7 minutes, Oxford, November 19, 1847, listed by Lowe, Rexi, 1-136, grayish object that looked to be about 3.5 feet long, rapidly approaching the Earth at Sarbrook, April 1, 1826, sound like thunder, object expanding like a sheet, A.M. Jourcy, 1-26-133, Quar. Jourroy. Inst. 24-488, report by an astronomer, N.S. Drayton, upon an object duration of which seemed to him extraordinary, duration 3/4 of a minute, Jersey City, July 6, 1882, Sci America, 47-53, object like a comet, but with proper motion of 10 degrees an hour, visible 1 hour, reported by Purine and Glancy from the Cordoba Observatory, Argentina, March 14, 1916, Sci America, 115-493, something like a signal light, reported by Glacier, October 4, 1844, bright as Jupiter. Sending out quick flickering waves of light, Yearbook of Facts, 1845-278. I think that with the object known as Eddie's Comet passes away the last of our susceptibility to the common fallacy of personifying. It is one of the most deep-rooted of positivist illusions that people are persons. We have been guilty too often of spleens and spites and ridicules against astronomers, as if they were persons, or final unities, individuals, completenesses, or selves instead of indeterminate parts. But, so long as we remain in quasi-existence, we can cast out illusion only with some other illusion, though the other illusion may approximate higher to reality. So we personify no more but we super-personify. We now take into full acceptance our expression that development is an autocracy of successive dominance which are not final but which approximate higher to individuality or selfness, than do the human truisms that irresponsibly correlate to them. Eddie reported a celestial object, from the observatory at Grahamstown, South Africa. It was in 1890. The new dominant was only air presumptive then, or air apparent but not obvious. The thing that Eddie reported might as well have been reported by a night watchman, who had looked up through an unplaced sewer pipe. It did not correlate.